This is Digital Story Podcast number 872, December 6, 2022. Today's theme is 5 handmade photo gifts that people will love. I'm Derek Story. When it comes to the holiday season, I say use your talents for good. And what better way to share your photography than by creating memorable gifts for friends and loved ones? Today, I'll share with you 5 great ideas that you can pull together quickly for this time of giving. I hope you enjoy the show. So, what do you give people who have everything? I say give them something they didn't know they needed, right? And we as photographers are in a unique position to create a variety of holiday treasures. And, you know, you can create something that maybe other people couldn't, and certainly something that they couldn't get in the store. And, you know, let's face it, after a while, the store just becomes the store, right? And everything kind of starts to look the same. Everything starts to feel the same, all that. Well, we're going to break on through to the other side with stuff that doesn't feel the same, that comes from the heart, but yet is still very useful or wonderful or heartwarming or all of those things, right? All right, so let's get to this. I have 5 of these, and this is just to get the wheels turning inside your head, because I'm sure as soon as I give you these 5, once you start thinking about it, you could come up with 5 more. And hopefully you will incorporate some of these into your season of giving. All right, first one. Personalized family portrait. Now, I'm not talking about the department store thing with the Muslim backdrop and all that. I'm talking about a family portrait for a family that's close to you or a family that you know. And, you know, a family could be like 2 adults and 4 kids and 3 dogs. Or it could be like a family of 3. It could be like, you know, 2 partners living together with their pet. You know, I mean, a family can be any number of things. So let's just broaden our mind and say any group of people who happen to like hanging out with each other, right? A forced family bonding situation. This is not just any department store kind of thing, because you know these people, whether they're friends or family or whomever, you know these people. So you can come up with a location and an approach that is unique to them and something that they would really like. And you can detail this whole gift. You can say, you know, you don't put a date on it because, you know, that part you need to leave to be worked out. But you can detail your vision to them and, you know, maybe have a sample photo, maybe of them that you took or someone else took, and say, you know, we can do a modern version of this and maybe even make it even cooler than this, you know, that kind of thing. So it's a gift that you can give because A, you have the talent to do the photograph. B, you know them and you know something about them. And C, you can pull all these things together to create a very unique and wonderful expression that honestly, no one else could do. So that's the first one. Now, sticking with the family and friends idea, this one is also kind of neat, and this is what I call a treasure board. And what a treasure board is it's a framed piece of art that has a number of different pictures in it. Now, they're done all sorts of different ways, and this is where maybe some of your creativity comes into play. They have mats with cutouts. And those are very simple. So then you just put pictures behind the cutouts in the map. You put the frame back on and you've got something really cool. And it's 5, 8, 10 photos, you know, depending on how big the frame and how many holes are in the map. Or you could do something where you use photo corners on a mat board, right? And you kind of put them to a little bit more of an eclectic design, the images. And then you frame that. So you get a standard size mat board, let's say 11 by 14. Use the photo corners, kind of put them all on there, If you have an artistic hand, you can add some decorations. You could add stickers. You could add all sorts of stuff, right? You could have fun with this. And then when you get the board the way that you want, then you frame it and give it to them. You probably have pictures of them already, right? Whoever you're doing this treasure board for, you probably have images already. And some of them could be older images that you've scanned. Some could be more current photos over the last few years that you've taken with your camera. I mean, they could be any number of things. But I think the treasure boards that work best are the ones that have some sort of theme. And it could be, you know, the last decade. It could be 3 decades ago. It could be an event such as a family gathering at the holidays. It could be any number of things. But the idea is that through the use of these pictures that you have of these friends or family members, that you tell a story on the board that they are going to want to look at time and time again. And so these treasure boards are fun, and they can have all sorts of different themes and all sorts of different approaches. The idea is that you, the photographer, are pulling together images that you have access to in a creative way to tell a story that has meaning to the people that you give it to. So that's thought number 2, the treasure board for family or friends. Now, number 3 is a bit different, and I call it 2 hours of tech support. This can be an especially nice gift for older family members. And, you know, again, you could kind of do it up like a gift certificate. You could have, you know, little half-hour increments that they punch out or mark. You know, I mean, these things are fun. And for those of you that have Macs, Pages, the application Pages, has some wonderful templates for making stuff like this that can be very decorative. And you can make it like a 5x7 and put it in a nice envelope, and then maybe attach something fun to it, like a flash drive or, you know, something that a little hardware piece that would go along with the project. But the thing that I have noticed is that folks who didn't grow up with technology in particular have a hard time finding people to help them when they encounter something new. And it could be that, you know, they want to do something with their smartphone pictures, but, you know, they know how to take the pictures, they figured that out, but they have no idea how to organize them or share them or export them or put them online, any of that kind of stuff. And this is where you could be really helpful. And the key to this working is that you talk with the person who's receiving the gift for a little bit before you do anything, and really kind of get to the bottom of their most pressing need, you know. And that could be on the computer, that could be on the mobile device, it could be, you know, really anywhere along the whole workflow chain, right? There's a lot of baffling areas along the way that we stumble over as well. Once you narrow in on that, whatever that key need that they have, then you can actually devise a course of action to help them, and then give them time to practice it, and then come back. And like the last half hour session could be, you know, you there while they're just doing it, and, you know, you're letting them walk through it. And in case they stumble, you're there to help them, you know, that whole thing. But this can be really a fun project for everyone. And especially if you end up, you know, moving the ball forward for them in a particular area. 2 hours of tech support. And again, you can make it fun. You can make a little certificate. You can add little tchotchkes to it, the whole deal. But I tell you, for the right person, this gift would be invaluable. They'd just be so happy to finally figure out how to do this one thing that they've wanted to do and haven't been able to, and haven't been able to find anyone to help them do it. Number 4, and this one is good for anyone. A set of fine art note cards with blank interiors. And note cards are one of those things that are so handy to have on hand, because things come up. And let's say that someone does something really special for you. They have you over for an evening, you know, a dinner, and they share their best bottle of wine with you and really do some nice things for you. And then afterwards you go, I mean, that was too nice just to send a text message, thank you. That was such a wonderful thing that they did for me. I want to send them something special, you know, something that stands out from an email or a text message. And that's where note cards really come in for marking or acknowledging special occasions or special acts of kindness. And it's good to have some on hand. Your fine art note cards that you could make, you know, let's say you make a bundle of six of them, and they could be along a theme, right? It could be a nature theme or something like that, where it's each card is a little different, but they're all sort of related to one another. And then you include the envelopes, make sure you include the envelopes, and then you could tie them up with a nice ribbon or something, repurpose a box if you have a box that holds 5x7s. And then the finishing touch that I think would be so cool. Let's say that you have a nature theme for the note cards that you're giving, then get the stamps too. Get the forever stamps, but get them so they go along with that theme. So not only do you have the wonderful note card, let's say it's of a flowing stream or something, you know, in a wooded area, that's one of the note cards, that the stamps also are something that have that same vibe to them. So you're giving them the cards, the envelopes, and the stamps, and they all hang together wonderfully. And then talk with them a little bit about how it's so handy to have these. They probably already know this stuff, but it's kind of a fun conversation. And then the other thing that happens that I've noticed with these fine art note cards is that more than once I've walked into someone's house that I had given a note card to, usually as a thank you, and I see it framed. I see it framed and they're on the wall or on their desk or something. And boy, I tell you, that feels good too. These fine art note cards, and especially if you add the stamps and the envelopes, can be just a really special gift, a really thoughtful gift that almost anyone I know would appreciate having. And this fifth one is a little off the beaten track, but I know many of you have done this, where you have an extra camera that you're not using, an extra digital camera. It's still very functional, still looks good, all that kind of stuff. And then you know someone, friend or family, that's a budding photographer. They are good with their smartphone, and you could tell they're at the point where they might be able to move to the next level. And putting together a nice kit with this hand-me-down camera, maybe a memory card, you know, just, you know, all whatever little pieces you have to go with it, and give that to them, a camera that you're probably not using that could mean a lot to this person. I've done this twice over the years, and I have to tell you that I felt really good both times, and I could tell the person that received the gift was thrilled as well. And it's just something, you know, we acquire gear without really thinking much about it, even when we're careful and, you know, we're budget conscious and all that. And almost all of us have one of these cameras that we could spare. And probably most of us know someone that would really benefit from having it. So that's my fifth one. You know, the hand-me-down camera that's all cleaned up and ready to go, help somebody move to the next level with their photography. Now, a nice touch to any gift that you decide to give a family member or friend is handmade wrapping paper. And this is so easy to do. It's a lot of times, I think the best wrapping paper is something that's a texture, you know, a simple scene that's beautiful, but maybe isn't a photograph that you put on the wall. Let's say an example could be a picture of shells on a seashore, maybe with some water bubbling in, you know, and you've got the texture of the sand and some shells in the water, but it's not really a shot that you would, you know, print and put on the wall. But when you print it out as wrapping paper and you wrap a gift with it, it looks fabulous. You can do things like if you celebrate Christmas, for example, and you have a tree, you could take a picture, a close picture of the ornaments and the tree branches and all that kind of stuff. Again, just sort of this texture shot. And then you print it out on just regular paper, just regular copy paper, 8.5 by 11. If you can print bigger sheets, and if you have bigger sheets, even if you have legal size sheets, that gives you an additional bit of wrapping paper to work with. And just print it out, let it dry down, and then wrap up your smaller gifts with it. And they're really nice. And imagine going back to the note card thing for a minute. If you did give someone the set of note cards with the envelopes and the stamps, and they're tied up with a ribbon, and then you picked a theme that worked with those note cards, or maybe was from the same shoot, and you made the wrapping paper with it and wrapped it up in that, that's pretty good stuff. That's really good stuff. So anyway, those are my thoughts. So let me just review them real quick. A personalized family portrait. A treasure board that tells a story for friends or family, a moment in time, possibly, that would be something that they would enjoy looking at over the years. 2 hours of tech support for someone who would truly appreciate it. A set of fine art note cards with blank interiors so that they can use them for anything, all occasions. And a hand-me-down camera to a budding photographer that's ready for the next step, all wrapped up with wrapping paper that you made yourself. Anyway, those are some ideas to get the wheels turning for you. I hope this holiday season, regardless of how you celebrate the holidays, I hope you have someone that you can share some gifts with. And I hope that you could share a personalized gift that would have a lot of meaning to them, with something from this list or something that comes from your own list based on these suggestions. Pantone just announced its unconventional color of the year for 2023. I just think this is so interesting every year that this happens, and this is a real thing. When I was at Lowepro, we always reviewed the upcoming color of the year and, you know, would discuss should that color be incorporated into our bags, you know, and things like that. So this is a real thing in the business world. If you don't know much about this, let me read you a little bit from this article on fstoppers.com, and I have the link to the entire article in the show notes. Today is the day we learn which color will take the crown for Color of the Year for 2023. Are you ready to start seeing unconventional new shade everywhere? All eyes are on Pantone, the worldwide standard for color communication, as they announce the hotly anticipated color for year 2023. Last year's shade was Pantone 17-3938 Very Peri, and chosen in part to reflect the optimism in the air post-pandemic. For 2023, however, Pantone 18-1750, Viva Magenta, is the color chosen, and it is described as an unconventional shade for an unconventional time. Viva Magenta is claimed to be able to communicate power and demonstrate strength. If you're not too familiar with Viva Magenta as a color, think of a bold magenta shade with a pink undertone. While I do appreciate a company declaring a color of the year could look like just another marketing gimmick, Pantone doesn't just pluck a random color out of thin air. Instead, they look to creative industries, from entertainment to fashion to interiors and design, to make an educated guess about the shades that will be important in the coming 12 months. For photographers who operate in these creative circles, it can only be a good thing to know what the color of the year is. I know when I've mentioned the selective shade to various art directors, designers, or commercial clients, they have always been impressed that I even knew what it was. So I looked at this Viva Magenta color, and By the way, they have a sample of it in the article that I mentioned on F-stoppers in the show notes there. So you can see it for yourself. And you know what? It is a pleasing color. It really is. And I sort of like this idea of a color chosen to communicate power and demonstrate strength as we go into 2023. For some reason, it does resonate with me. That's how I'm feeling going into this new year. And I may be using a little of this Viva Magenta myself in some of my publications here. But anyway, I thought that would be just a fun thing to know. And, you know, when you're hanging out at the coffee bar with other creatives, you know, this could be a little tidbit that you could drop on them. And either you look really smart or you look like, dude, you really need to get out more. I don't know which one it would be, but Viva Magenta, that's our color for 2023. Adobe Stock will now let contributors sell AI-generated artwork. And this is an article from petapixel.com. I have the link in the show notes. Adobe has announced that its stock photography service, Adobe Stock, is now accepting illustrations created using generative artificial intelligence, such as those created by OpenAI's DALL-E or Stable Diffusion. In a blog post, the company says that the choice to allow generative AI into its platform came after it deeply considered questions of ethics and proper use of the technology. The result is that while it is accepting artwork created with AI, it has also created a new submission policy that it believes will ensure generated artwork is used responsibly by creators and customers both. Quote, while early generative AI technologies have raised valid concerns, Adobe is committed to helping lead the evolution that will come from this technology into tools that empower artists while never seeking to replace human imagination, the company writes. Properly built, used, and disclosed to viewers, generative AI can be a powerful tool to enhance creativity, accelerating the creative process to benefit both customers of digital assets and the community of contributors who produce those assets. Yeah, I don't know what really has changed. You know, they said that in the past they weren't for it, and you know, now they're for it. I think this kind of artwork, or really any kind of artwork that isn't straight out of the camera, if you're selling stock photos, all you have to do is disclose how it was created so people know. And if people know that this is an AI created piece of art and they like it and they have a use for it and they want to buy it, I honestly don't see what's wrong with that. You know, maybe some folks will have some ideas that they'll express on our Facebook page where I post, you know, this podcast. But to me, I do feel like this is just a logical step forward. It makes total sense that Adobe is going to embrace it because they have tools, you know, are useful in this area. And some of this AI artwork is interesting to look at. In the end, you know, people are going to make and choose what they want, but art is art. One of the things that I learned when I was in college studying art as a design minor is that we don't get to say what art is. The world gets to say what art is by, you know, embracing it or not embracing it. And even if they don't embrace it, then the artist gets to say what art is. I'm fine with it. I want to mention that our next online workshop coming up in February 2023 is Maximizing Your Micro Four Thirds Camera. It's an online workshop. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to this workshop. This is one of the new ones for 2023. We haven't done this in the past. And we did one, I think it was 2 years ago, that focused on the iPhone when the iPhone 12 Pro Max came out. And it was really good. I mean, it exceeded my expectations in terms of enjoyment, in terms of things that I learned during the workshop. And, you know, it helped me better use my iPhone as a camera. And I have even a stronger feeling about this Micro Four Thirds camera workshop, because these cameras, whether you have a Panasonic or an OM system camera, these cameras have so much in them, and a lot of it is really interesting stuff, but we don't really know how to use it or where to find it in the menu or how to set it up or whatever. So there's all that kind of stuff, the whole creative side to it. And then the physical properties of a Micro Four Thirds camera is different than, let's say, a Canon or Nikon full-frame camera. And in some cases, there are some real strengths to the Micro Four Thirds system. And then other areas, it isn't as strong as a full-frame camera. And we need to learn how to work around those areas, which you can. And so it's kind of fun, you know, learning the dynamics of the system that you're embracing. Now, we will be focusing on the newer cameras, of course, but if you have an Olympus EM5 Mark II, that works too, right? I mean, a lot of the menus and technologies are similar even with the older cameras. So I'm just looking forward to delving in and really getting to know this particular system, Micro Four Thirds system, and all the things that it can do. That is our next online workshop. We still have some seats open. You can get to it via the Nimble Photographer or in the show notes. Either way, just go to the nimblephotographer.com. You'll see workshops there. You'll see workshops at the top of the digital story and, of course, in the show notes here. But I'm looking forward, and I think we're going to have a blast. If you have a Micro Four Thirds camera and you want to get as much out of it as you can, I think you're going to dig this online workshop. Speaking of Micro Four Thirds, OM1 has a firmware update 1.3. This was just announced last week, and you can update your OM camera's firmware right now. You can download it. What they have in this update is improved performance of the CAF, continuous autofocusing while shooting still images, improved performance of continuous autofocus when recording videos, and stability of other operations have also been improved. Now, they have an instructional video on this page if you've never done a firmware update before. It's fairly straightforward for OM system cameras. I have a link to the page that talks about the firmware update, and then also has the link to actually get the firmware update or what to do in the show notes. But there is update 1.3 that's available for those of you that have OM1 cameras. Okay, let's take care of a little virtual camera club news. The Nimble Photographer newsletter is published every Thursday. And this is something that I really enjoy producing. And Thursdays are great. A few days after the podcast, if something happens in between the two, I can talk about in the newsletter. And it's a variety of things that we do with this. And really, it's to celebrate photography, to disseminate information, and just to have something fun show up in your email box that you might actually want to read once a week. It's free, and all you have to do to get it is just click on the link in the show notes. Every Thursday, the Nimble Photographer newsletter. I want to give a big shout out to our Inner Circle members. These are the folks that support this podcast and this community month in and month out. Inner Circle members also receive discounts on all of our online and physical workshops. So if you're thinking about taking a workshop in 2023, you might want to become an Inner Circle member and save yourself some money. You actually come out ahead compared to your pledge to the Inner Circle, which is super affordable. You can do it for $54 a year or $5 a month. And we have a link in the show notes if you want to click on it there. And we have a Patreon tile on all the pages of the digital store. You can click on that, nose around the site, take a look and see what you think. And a huge thanks to our members, our Inner Circle members, for supporting this community. I really appreciate it. And finally, I want to give a tip of the hat to our friends at Red River Paper. I'm working with them right now because we have the online printing workshop in full swing. And Red River Paper is a part of that workshop. In fact, Drew is going to be a guest speaker at the workshop here in another week. A week from Wednesday, actually. So I'm really looking forward to his presentation, hoping to learn a few new things from him and maybe steal some ideas as well. But Red River Paper is fully involved with this community. They support this community, not only through their monthly sponsorship, but in any way that they can. And, you know, we're really lucky to have someone like this. You know, when you're a podcast community, as we are, an online community, as we are, and you have a company, a successful company, that's standing behind you, that's supporting you as you work on different things, you know, that means a lot. And that's one of the ways, along with our Inner Circle members, that we're able to keep going and growing every month and every year. It's just fantastic. Plus, Red River Paper has fantastic paper. I guess none of this would make sense if they didn't, right? Anyway, you can learn more about them by clicking on the tile that's on all the pages of the digital store. Go to our landing page and then nose around from there. And they also have a terrific Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. All right, it's going to do it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed the show. I hope you're getting into the holiday season a bit. I'm working on some great stuff for next week. Until then, be creative. Be very creative. Stay safe. Take some pictures. See you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.